This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is brought to you in part by Thrive Cosmetics and Lightstream.
Lightstream is the nation's premier online consumer lender. They offer low-interest fixed-rate loans from $5,000 to $100,000 for practically any purpose.
We thank them both for making our show a possibility. Love is love. A lesbian.
Black queer human being.
We are two gay dads.
I am a transgender man.
Trans woman.
Bisexual, non-binary, single parent by choice.
Can I ever have nice things? I just want nice things.
He just got spit up on.
Boop, 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 boop.
Boop, boop.
All right, can I do a quick disclaimer? I have a cold.
I was going to say, E has been sick for like 2 months.
Oh my God, no. I think it was the dog. Honestly, the dog started sneezing about a month ago.
I don't think you get colds from dogs,
E. I don't know how not. They're living things. They pass germs. He walks on the ground.
Okay, I don't know. Somebody tell us. Do dogs give us germs? I don't know. Maybe, perhaps. I mean, you can get diseases from animals. We know this.
Ew.
I don't know. But the point, you just said you got it from your dog and now you're earwigging.
But I don't even touch the dog except to like pet it like three times a day. I go like this.
You don't kiss it three times a day.
On the...
Oh, God, no.
You know black people don't kiss dogs in the mouth. Although that has been debunked. I saw a black person, black people just kissing dogs in the mouth. I don't know what's going on with the culture.
Listen, to each their own.
You know the erection is tomorrow. How do we...
I don't feel erect over the election.
I'm so nervous.
Yeah. I'm nervous.
Can I give you my theory?
Yeah.
If we make it to 300 years, which we're really close, if we can make it over that 300-year hump, our empire, this United States empire, this experiment, has a great chance of living on like the other dynasties and empires of the world. However, We really fucking around close to that 300 point. Well, according to history, you have to make it past 300 years for empires to survive. Now, historians out there, don't quote me.
Don't quote us. We are not experts in anything. Nope. And we are fully aware.
Yep.
But I just don't want, it to become a whole new Gilead. That's what I'm afraid of.
Oh,
do you watch Handmaid's Tale?
I do. And I would be an Aunt Lydia. I know it. Because I can't make no babies. Ain't nothing coming out of me.
You would be an Aunt Lydia.
I would. I would be an Aunt Uncle Lydia.
I don't know what I'd be. I'd be dead, I think. Because I'm not that fertile. They put me in the whorehouse. Like, that's where I'd be. What
well,
did they call
me,
Jezebel?
The black lady. You could be the housemaid.
Oh, I could be a Martha.
You could be a Martha.
I bet I'd be a Martha.
You'd be a Martha.
I'd be a Martha. Oh, my God. Where are we going with this
I don't
shit?
Know, but your son would rule the world. That kid is so,
my Targaryen?
Here. He's the prettiest little baby. He looks like a little white angel.
Okay, that's a nice way to put it.
He just looks like he sings and is the sweetest. And the fact that I know that he says things like, "Can you shut up?" makes
you know
me
said?
So happy.
Wait, okay, I'll tell you one thing he said. We were in a hotel a while back, and Rose, my daughter, was going out, was like doorbell dashing us, like doorbell dashing the room, ringing the doorbell and then running away. And Orion kept answering the door. He didn't realize that it was Rose. Finally comes back. He comes back to us in the room. He goes, "These fucking people keep ringing the bell." Like,
if you guys have not seen Jay's son and her daughter, they're beautiful children. But the little boy,
he's four.
He has long white blonde hair and he has a mouth of a trucker. And I love all of it. I love all of it.
That's a direct reflection on my mouth and my wife's. No, we blame her brothers because they don't stop swearing ever. But don't give me that look, E.
Okay.
I know it's my fault. I know it's my fault. And you can't react.
Because
if you react, it becomes a thing. He has said it a couple times since. And every time we have to turn around and laugh in our hands because it's hilarious.
Well, what do you do now? Because, you know, my boy said this weekend we were playing chess and I won. Because he's been winning me because I was sick. Oh. That's the only reason. Mm-hmm. And he said, "God damn it." And I was like, oh. I said, "What did you say?" He said, "Well, I'm not cursing at you. I'm just mad at the chess pieces." And I was like, "It's goddamn." And then I had to sit there and decide.
Is that going to be an offensive word in your house? Right.
Because I honestly don't care about cursing as mm-hmm. long as you're not cursing at someone. But if he stubs his toe and he goes, "Shit," or "Fuck," he's heard me do it so much.
Right.
What
I know.
Do you do?
And I feel like there comes a certain age where you have to start to allow. But I think 4 is a little young. I'm not going to lie.
Imagine what he's going to be doing by 8 and 11. I can't imagine. You've seen my son.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking around now saying that he's from the hood. He's a hood.
Uh-oh.
He's hood. He's like, "Yeah, I'm hood. I'm from the hood." And I'm like, "Oh, God. Oh, God." There is nothing hood about this child. He can't even say, "I'm from the hood." He didn't put the duh. It's T-H. "I'm from the hood." Like, shut up. No, you're not. But he's really... And then he threw up finger signs. I don't know what these signs mean.
He's making them up.
He's making shit up.
Careful.
Oh, God.
Oh, the children today. What are we going to do with these children?
How do you say you're hood when your parents work so hard to do everything to not make you hood? Like me and his mom, hood, right? We did everything we could to not have him be hood. And now he wants to be hood.
He wants to be hood. We really segued from that election discussion. But
that's
I'm so
we don't
happy
know politics.
We did. Because it's depressing. But here's what we're doing. We're going to have Keira Johnson from the National LGBTQ Task Force coming on very soon to discuss the election outcomes. So after the elections happen, we will have a special episode where we get into depth on everything every outcome means for our communities.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm very excited,
to
talk
about that
to
too.
Keira. All right, so y'all know, not everything we talk about makes it off the cutting room floor, especially with these here intros. And so especially with this intro, because we are rambling, I'll tell you that much. So what we've decided to do, and we started it with the last episode, we are releasing the entire intro video on our Patreon page for Patreoners in the gestational carrier level and up. Ooh. So if you are already subscribed to Patreon, go ahead over there and watch the whole intro because they're funny and we really do ramble a lot and have fun.
Yeah.
And if you happen to be in the lucky position to have a little extra cash and you are not a member of our Patreon community yet, you should join. We've got various tiers
yes,
starting at just $2 a month.
$2, people. So right now, walk your fingers on your phone and click on our thing, the link that Jay is going to tell you later, patreon.com/overbreezetalk, and join. You get bonus perks that we don't just offer to anybody, but our special Patreoners. And I did some recognizance. So we're going to be having date night soon on the Patreon as soon as we figure out how to do it.
It's like Tweedledum and Tweedledee over here.
Oh, gosh.
So, okay, let's talk about our guest.
Can I say Z Mendez?
Oh, my God. Z, okay, y'all, Z, I love Z. We are in love with Z. Yeah. Z has four children who came to them almost every way LGBTQ folks make families.
Absolutely.
I mean, Z's story runs the gamut. Mm.
It was a hell of a journey. In fact, we talked so long to Z that the conversation is so thick and rich and delicious that we decided to make it a two-parter. The second part is available right now on Patreon. See, if you would join Patreon at the gestational or above level, you would be able to hear the whole thing at once.
Or you can just join now so you can hear the second part. Or you can wait till next week, whatever you want. But either way, you're in for a ride. Yeah. And you're going to get a lot of info today. So in this episode, you're going to hear about how Z worked through their gender dysphoria and ended up finding the beautiful person that they show up in the world as today. And then they talk about how they and their ex-wife created their family. We're talking fostering, fostering to adopt, IVF, having twins in the midst of taking in kids who need homes. Like, what a journey. And that's not all. That's not all of the kids they created. Like, that's episode two.
Right. Oh, my God.
Like,
gosh.
This is just this episode. This is just the three kids of this episode. So
Z is a beautiful human. And I learned so much. And it was just great to connect with the energy that Z has. And we had a blast. I mean, we could have probably kept talking for days.
Oh,
wait, you know what? Golly, Helen is tugging on my shoulder. Are you guys wrapping it up? You've been going a long time.
These fucking people. These fucking people want us to roll the tape. So our fake assistants are going to roll the tape. Roll the tape, Helen and Beulah.
Hey, Z.
Hi, Z.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
It's good.
It's so good to have you here. This has been kind of a long time in the making.
Yes.
Sort of.
But it's so worth it.
Oh, it's so worth it. Yeah. We had tried to do a recording for those of you at home. We had tried to do a recording. Was it last week?
Yes.
Yeah, last week.
There were like Mercury was in retrograde, as he keeps reminding me, and things were not working out and we had to reschedule. But here we are. We figured out some technical difficulties.
Yeah.
And we are here. But Z, before we move forward, we have to hear your 30-second elevator pitch. We need to know who you are and why you are here.
Whenever you're ready, let's push the button.
Okay, ready, set, go. I'm Z. I'm 39 and some change, almost half. I will be 40 in June. I'm a Gemini, and I have four kids. I'm a spiritual healer who reads Akashic records, talks to dead people. I work for the railroad. I am here to tell you guys a little bit about myself, my family, my divorce, my foster parenting, my foster adopted child, IVF and twins, and then a reciprocal IVF for myself. And I think I may be out of time.
Oh,
you did it.
I want you to keep going because you have four kids and I think you have a child almost every way us LGBTQ folks can make a child.
Wow. Yeah.
Almost every way. You ran the gamut of LGBTQ baby making.
Which is amazing. And this is the first interview that I've had with Jay, with someone who's been divorced from a woman. So I'm excited to hear your perspective on that, because that's not something our community, you know, we're excited about marriage equality. I'm very excited about it. But also there's divorce equality, too. Mm. And that is a thing. So let's go way back.
Let's take it back.
Way back. You're a younger person, you're green in the world, and you decide, oh, I'm a homosexual or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just in those words.
Yeah. I mean, and I was 14, maybe. I have a group of friends who is like, you know, we were artists, right? We would like cut class and slide into, you know, the photography like dark room and develop pictures. That's the kind of stuff that we would do. Like, we would cut class and never even leave school. And so we were kind of different and like eccentric, you know, the black sheep, if you will. Mm-hmm. And some of us, you know, were pretty visibly queer. I mean, we didn't know what that meant in ninth grade, but we were queer. Like, it was obvious. And I had a group of friends over one night and we were watching like a series of queer movies, like Gia, Better Than Chocolate, like things like that, right? Wow. And my mom had come in, yep. and we were slick because we had an older friend who would get us the unrated version of movies. So like the Gia unrated version is, y'all better get on that.
I'm a go.
So my mom kept coming in to like offer us food and drinks and stuff. And when my friends left, my mom, you know, in her thick Spanish accent is like, mommy, come and sit down, please. Come and sit down. So I went over and I sat down with her and she's like, mommy, listen, if, you know, I see you fraying, I see every rainbow you having over here, you loving the girls, you love it, you gay, mommy, that's okay. My sister, aww, your tia Sonia, she's gay and that's okay because mommy loves you, okay? Oh. And I was like, I think I'm gay, you know, at like 14 years old, my mom basically like dragged me out of the closet crying. My dad had a harder time, but my mom's been really accepting and, you know, has helped me out a lot and was like hella excited with like the kids and the pregnancy. So back when I was 14 years old, I came out, I started going to like a queer youth program in my area called Center Lane at the Loft in White Plains. They're phenomenal. They have social workers, you get like free therapy, things like that. And you get to meet other queer kids your age in the area that you probably wouldn't otherwise. They help you start GSAs in your schools and like things like that. So
this was,
it started back then.
In the 90s.
This was like 97, 98. Yeah. So I started, you know, connecting with people and venturing out, started dating. I moved into the city and that's when like I really started meeting people. So I had like a handful of relationships. I had some like psychiatric stuff sort of happen for me too. It's part of like my healing and awakening. And then eventually at the end of like a really intense 2.5 year healing process, I met my ex-wife. And yeah, I mean, I've always wanted kids. I've always wanted a family. I knew that I was supposed to parent children or be like a parental sort of figure in some sort of way. But I never wanted to carry children. Like that wasn't anything that I wanted to do. I've always had a bit of like gender dysphoria, never really connected fully with like my feminine form until, of course, I had this huge like awakening and understanding energy and how that works and fully connect now as like a two-spirited, you
I gotta
know,
say, I'm with you being on that journey. You know what I mean? Understanding yourself as what? I don't feel like what they say woman, female, girl is. I don't feel like what they say masculine, male, man is. Is there something else? And what I've been learning, and we've talked about a couple of times on the show, is there's so many different civilizations that had so many different and varied designations for people's gender identity. And we just got lumped into this male female, which is kind of bogus. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you on that journey.
But we can get into the colonization and all that other nonsense, why that's all like a big deal.
Absolutely.
Yes. And like genders and finance and how that all plays all together and like religion and all that stuff. People like us were revered in these communities. They were considered powerful, all-knowing, balanced, right? Mm-hmm. And nothing is more powerful than men and money, especially effeminate men or masculine women, right? That's like really threatening to these people, you know, hundreds of years ago. And so, yeah, that's all part of it. And you know, after doing a DNA test, and I can get into like stuff with like my biological father and not having known him and being raised with by my stepdad and like biology not meaning shit to me, which is why I have children that I birthed that are not biologically mine and I do not care about that.
Right. I want to hear more about that.
For sure. So I took a DNA test and genetics testing and all this stuff. And it shows that I'm like 10 to 15% Taíno. So I started diving into that and like really pushing my healing along and learning more about that stuff. So
what is Taíno?
Taíno is natives from the islands of like Puerto Rico, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Haiti. They're technically like Arawak Indians. And so, yeah, like all the slave trade and like stuff like that, you know, we were colonized by like the Spaniards and the Portuguese. And so a lot of us are mixed.
The History of the United States by...
I have that book.
Yeah.
I've never read
Zin.
It.
It talks about it, and you learn about the slaughter of Columbus literally. And boys of the Arawak Nation.
Like literal slaughter.
Nowadays, we talk about humanity and warfare, how you fight a war, and that it has to have humane practices. Some of the worst practices have been done to indigenous people mm-hmm. on this planet.
Yeah. It's heavy.
So it's very heavy.
But so you get this DNA test, you learn this, and where does it take you?
I started really like exploring and looking into some things. It really confirmed what I kind of have already known, what my guides had already shown me. It was just full on like exploration at that point, just really trying to connect with community and learn more.
Was this a journey that your ex-wife was on with you, or is that something that was kind of you on your own and then you two meet star-crossed lovers? Next thing you know, you're married. Yeah.
Well, there were a lot of things, you know, that started to cause like a rift between us. But I think that the spirituality stuff and me being very sensitive to energy and frequency and vibration really just kind of put the nail in the coffin. We were really just like on opposite ends of it. In fact, when I first had my awakening, she thought I was having like a nervous breakdown or was experiencing schizophrenia. There are like some psychiatric things and psychological stuff that goes on with my side of the family, my maternal side. And so there was a concern, right? But it was so clear, all of the information that I was receiving and all of the stuff that I was hearing and feeling. Once there was confirmation, she sort of like started turning that a little bit. But I was becoming very sensitive to energy, and she vibrates much lower than I do. And so like, I think ideally, we had all of these like really lovely ideas of how we were going to raise our children and all of the things that like we would and wouldn't do. She was a director for a childcare center for like 17 years, you know, and I worked childcare for 10 years, and we both know what we're doing. And yeah, there was just like conflict around that. And we have a child who is foster adopted. She's been with us since she was 6 years old. She will be 15 in January, officially adopted when she was 9. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our conflict surrounded that because I have a lot of trauma. And I'm very trauma informed. And my daughter has a lot of trauma. And, you know, my partner, and I'm just going to say this candidly and clearly, is German and Italian, white, green eyes, red hair, very privileged. She doesn't come from a family of money. They grew up in like, you know, the hood or whatever. And so they know a little bit of like the struggle, right? But still. Very privileged. So these were some of the things that sort of like started to keep us separate, because even though our children present white, they are Latinx and they do have Latin blood, and there needs to be more understanding and representation in some of the stuff that we're watching and we're doing and we're talking about, some of the places that we're visiting. And so there was some conflict around some of that stuff, to the point where like I stormed out of my house. I won't even get into like the whole argument, but basically kicked the door out and was like, I married a racist, like down the block.
Sorry, that sounds hard.
Yeah. So it was tricky, but thankfully, right, like with a lot of therapy and the full recognition that our kids are number one, we are wonderful co-parents. You know, we have our shit every once in a while, but our kids come first.
That's beautiful. That takes a lot of work.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Ooh, I mean, child. It's hard to raise
I'm not at that
my
point.
Kid with my wife, and I live. E, we have come to my favorite product to talk about, Thrive Cosmetics.
I keep hearing you talk about how much you love it and all this other stuff. Cause is in the name for a reason. How is Seneva? You did not give me my sample.
I brought them to you and I forgot to give them to you.
You didn't take it out of the bag.
Good. I know. And every product is so good. I can't wait for you to try. I mean,
they're vegan, certified vegan and cruelty free. And every purchase supports organizations that help women thrive. And I love women thriving, honey.
Oh, so do I. Okay. So do I. Yes.
Because you're gay.
And their products are made with clean ingredients. They have no parabens, sulfates, phthalates. That's important. But here's a new thing. What? I have a new product of theirs that I absolutely love, which I have in my bag for you. It's their Sheer Strength Hydrating Lip Tint. It hydrates.
Tint?
Yes. You would wear this. It's super neutral, but it adds just a pop of color. Like, it just adds some color to your face. And it adds the tint that works perfectly. Like, the one I have, it's perfect for my skin tone. It's not too much. It's hassle-free. It moisturizes. It's lightweight. It's not sticky. It's just beautiful. It smooths and hydrates your lips over time. And it comes in 6 shades, E. So there's a shade for all of us.
Okay, because I love a moist lip. You know, I have full lips, and it's wintertime, and I need some moisture, so.
You know what else is also really easy and awesome of Thrive Cosmetics products? Their Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. This mascara makes your eyes pop. This is for Aaron. Aaron, your wife.
Well, wait, I might use the mascara because sometimes I'm feeling my white boy rocker moment, and I want to, like, have a dark and brooding eye.
So weird. You're so weird. But this here's the cool thing about it. They use this tubing formula, which makes the mascara slide right off when you want to take it off.
Huh?
And all you need is warm water and a washcloth.
Wow.
And it literally slides off your eyelashes, so there's no smudge. There's no black smudge.
Wow.
Ever.
And don't they have that Bigger Than Beauty promise that for every product purchase, they donate to help communities thrive, which I love a good product with a great cause. They have over 300 giving partners across the country supporting numerous causes. And I checked their website because I think I'm telling you that you didn't give me my stuff. No. And they support survivors of domestic abuse, survivors of cancer, victims of human trafficking. They're doing the good work.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Now is a great time to try Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/OCT.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/OCT for 15% off your first order.
Go ahead, get that Thrive, and I'll bring you yours, I promise.
Please.
Can we take it back to when it was a little more golden and you just started creating this whole family that you have?
Yeah. When we finally decided that we did want to have children after working with kids for so long and being in infant rooms and caring and raising everybody's kids, we were like, it's time. And so we started with my ex, started going to like the fertility specialist, doing all that stuff, doing all the exams. And after about 18 months of trying, doing IUIs, like well-timed, you know, IUIs at the fertility clinic, still nothing.
And you were using, did you use a sperm donor from a bank or was it a known donor?
Yes.
A bank. Okay.
We used a donor from a bank at first because we hadn't even like been married or anything at this point. We had been together like maybe 7 years at this point. And after trying for like 18 months and nothing was happening, like undiagnosed, you know, infertility, basically, like they didn't know like what it was. We took a little bit of a break for the summer and then we started using a known donor and just doing like insems at home for a couple of months and like nothing. And finally,
I'm going to interrupt. Did you use like a fertility kit at home or did you like how'd you do it? Did you turkey baster it? Because some folks we talk to actually use actual turkey basters.
No, so. We got like a fertility kit like online and like had a small little like syringe and like pipetter thing and did and had like a speculum and did like all the things at home and try to make it as like because we were like well maybe you know, it's too clinical and, you know, your anxiety is through the roof and like, you know, all the things that you sort of like come up with when there's all the shit that's not happening. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like made it romantic and like all that craziness, another 6 months of that and nothing. But I finally said, you know, like, I'm not ready to get married, I don't think either. But I'm full on ready to like domestic partnership so we can put you under my benefits. And I work for the government, so there's really great coverage. And so I was like, come on, let's just do it. So 6 months later, we got approved for IVF. But 2 months before we got approved for IVF, we didn't think we were going to get it. And we started applying for with the United Way to become foster parents, because we were like, well, if there's kids out there that need homes and we can't have our own, might as well. Like, maybe this is exactly the way we're supposed to have children. And the universe is like guiding us in that direction. Because it was like 2 or 3 days after we got a negative pregnancy test, we had my niece sleep over and we went to like a children's fair and they had a booth there for the United Way. So we just like signed up. They called us back about a week later. We went to orientation. Half the families walked out. We're like, this is not for us.
Yeah.
And we stayed. We did the entire certification program, the MAP program, and had our home certified, had like tests thing done and all this stuff, and they certified our home within 2 weeks. Like, some families wait really a long time. Within 2 weeks we had our first placement. We had twin girls who are 3 and a half. They were with us for about a month and a half. And then we started IVF, the twins left, and then our daughter came about 3 weeks after that, an emergency placement. We just wanted kids 0 to 5 because my ex was working at the child care center, so she could bring the kid basically for $0. So we didn't want school age kids because then we would have to cover before school, after school care, like figure stuff out. But they called us and they were like, it's an emergency. Like, we really need someone now. And we were like, all right.
Can we take it? Because you said you got the twin girls and then they went home. And we've talked to a lot of folks who've done the foster to adopt, and a lot of folks who've gone to the meetings and realized, I can't handle this. Right. So can you talk a little bit about that? I don't know. I mean, it must have been, they were with you for a month and a half. Like,
yeah.
What was that like?
We've had three placements that were with us for a while that went home. The last one was the most difficult. He was our son. We had him from when he was 4 months old till he was about 4 and a half, and he got placed back with his family. And he had a lot of special needs. He was born addicted. He needed a lot of physical therapy. So we spent a lot of time, care, and attention with him. Many, many doctor's visits, many therapy visits, all the Zoom calls with his family and siblings, because there was 4 of them. They were all in like separate spaces. So that was really difficult for us. My ex has a really difficult time. She can't even talk about the twins without like getting teary-eyed. And one of the things that we talk about all the time is that they offer so many services for the biological families before, during, and after, right? Like the system, but they offer zero grief counseling, anything like that, for families who are losing family members. My kids still ask about them. And so it's really difficult. But you know, there's parts of it too that we understand. We're essentially like, I'm gonna keep it real, right? Like, glorified babysitters, and we keep our fingers crossed until these families hopefully get their lives together. Because essentially and ultimately, that's what we want. No one wants their kids taken away from them. No one wants their family broken up. We understand that so fully. We put ourselves in their shoes very often, what it would be like to have some sort of life event or circumstance, right? COVID happens, you get laid off, you get into a car accident, all of a sudden you're addicted to opioids, your husband is beating the crap out of you because he's stuck in the house all day, he doesn't know how to deal with his anger that's suddenly coming up because he's just been sitting with it. And so, you know, people fall into these situations and circumstance, and you really pray for them and you really do your best to like guide them to bring their family back together. And so we know what our job is, right? Mm. We know what foster parenting is.
Can I jump in with you? My an ex of mine and I, we had a foster child. And it was, we went to a spiritual center, and someone at the spiritual center was saying that they couldn't keep the child because they were elderly. And we were like, we'll do it. And the saddest part of that journey is that they don't train you for children with special needs that are not special needs. So the human that we had as our child had extreme attachment issues, psychosis, and they pushed us through the process in a month. However, I have my son at the time who was three. So it wasn't a mix in that way. And we weren't able to maintain, you know, parentage, but it was really hard. And I think the agencies are so overwhelmed and understaffed. But when you're putting a baby in someone's house, it's so important to give me a book. Like if I would have been, you know, I didn't know that, like I was given advice afterwards that if you're going to foster and you already have an existing child, try to foster a child younger than your existing child. The young person that we took in was much older. And then seeing how my son was treated and the jealousy and the, you know, that's part of the reason why we couldn't continue, because there was fear about, you know, the 3-year-old in the house at the time. So it was a lot. I totally would love to do it again, but I think that the agencies need to do a better job with training. And I know, like I said, the system is overwhelmed. It's not easy, but
I have heard that we've had on the podcast a couple of times, some folks who have dealt with really wonderful agencies who really do try their best to help the foster parents and give grief counseling and things like that. So I know that those exist out there. I don't know. I can't even think of names.
And that's the thing. There's like different agencies that work under the big umbrella, and those smaller agencies. Yeah. I mean, you'll get some really great ones who are phenomenal and offer a lot of services and trainings and things like that. But I think, generally speaking, all of them are lacking in some sort of way.
The young person who we were able to parent for a very short time, we were her 10th home.
My daughter at 6 years old had already been in 3 homes. We were her 4th home.
So wait, take us to that, because the twins went back home. You had started PF. And then you did an emergency placement.
And then we get the placement, and it was supposed to be temporary. The biological mother had gotten custody again, temporary custody. My daughter had been in care for about 3 years at that point, or two and a half years at that point. Mom had gotten custody again. And a couple of months before the case was going to be closed, she had temporary release. They were doing visits or whatever. Absconded, went AWOL. No one could find her. And took my daughter with her.
Wow.
Yeah. So everyone was looking for her at like social services and things like that. And about a year and a half later, the birth mother's sister went on vacation to visit them and checked in somewhere. And, you know, they hire private investigators and stuff like that. You know, the kid belongs to the government technically. And so, yeah, the sister checked in at a local bar, and the PIs did a search of a 30-mile radius of all of the elementary schools and picked her up in the middle of the day, put her on a plane from Florida and flew her back to New York
and took her
from the middle of the night
mother
into my arms as she was asleep into my apartment. And every time my daughter has been moved, it's been in the middle of the night while she was sleeping. So
the
talk about like added trauma and like fear and anxiety. Right. And they like perpetuate this. Right. And we thought it was going to be a temporary release, but the birth mom kind of started like fucking up again and didn't show up for 6 months, was testing positive while pregnant, and then disappeared for about 8 months. So at that point, the judge was kind of like, all right, enough is enough. They had all of our attorneys talk, and birth mom wasn't really trying to negotiate, but the attorneys were kind of like, listen, if you ever want to see your daughter, like for real, I would talk to the family that has your kid now and figure something out. Because from where I'm sitting, doesn't look good for you, kid. So we did, we negotiated. So we talked to my daughter and she was very clear. And I quote her all the time. She says, I love my mom, but like, this is my family. So I just want to see her, but I want to live with you guys. And we honored that. Wait, and so my daughter has,
I'm sitting here, my eyes are
this is too much. Why is this not a movie? What's going on?
It was difficult for my ex, because you know she grew up in a core family, a mom, a dad, a brother. That was it. It was just them. Yeah. So she never had these feelings of like not knowing where you come from, right? Because I didn't know my biological father growing up. He walked out on my mom, who got pregnant at 17. Second that she said I'm pregnant, he was like, "Oh, that's not mine." my ex-wife was not too keen on like having an open adoption. Same thing when we were looking for a donor for our kids, I was like, I want a known donor so they can know when they're 18. Cause I didn't meet my birth father and my half brother until I was 26 years old. So, you know, a lot of that was kind of like taken away from me. And my mom had some information that she just never shared with me until I did meet my birth father and found out the full truth of everything.
Would you have preferred to have been told at an earlier age?
Yes.
Because I think a lot of families keep big, big secrets from kids that can be introduced in an age-appropriate way.
I'm a firm believer.
That's why we talk on this podcast all the time about LGBTQ families and how we are like so upfront with our origin story, mainly because it's obvious that something had to happen to create this family. And so we have to be upfront with our kids from the start.
Because don't make babies.
Right.
Holla.
Exactly.
My grandma said that, by the way.
I wouldn't be broke if it did.
Okay.
But there's the, in the adoption community, there's this thing they call the dropping the seed method, where you drop the tidbits of information since the moment they're born. You just drop it. You drop the story and they pick up whatever seeds they're ready to take at that moment. But you're always upfront and honest with your child's origin story, because like you said, Z, you were betrayed with the truth later in life.
Yeah. And even if it's hard to hear or hard to receive, like there's also this part of life that I've been learning lately, right? That like discomfort is part of life. It's the other side of the coin.
We just were talking about this.
Can I tell what we
it's
were saying?
It's the other side of the coin. And if you're not comfortable with discomfort, you're never going to be fully comfortable in joy. Like you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable and recognizing that like life is both sides of the coin. You cannot have one without the other. You can't. So when you really start to lean into that, you learn lessons, honey, lessons.
Did you know that interest rates are on the rise?
Jay, I've heard that, but I also got to say, I'm always thinking about my credit, whether they're rising or not. I'm constantly learning about credit and what to do and what not to do, since that wasn't something I learned as a kid. And credit is not always an easy journey for us queer Blacks named E.
And I can't say that I'm that well versed in it either, except for the fact that I know I don't want to be in debt. Yes, I know that. And so I do my best to try to keep that score up. That's what I know.
Apparently, with interest rates on the rise, now is the time to leverage that score to consolidate your debt. If you're working hard to raise your credit score or keep it raised, perhaps we can suggest some ideas.
Yes, so many things to think about. But that's what they say. With interest rates on the rise, now's the time to leverage your score to consolidate your debt before interest rates get too high.
If this resonates with you, we've got something for you. Pay off your credit cards faster with a low fixed rate loan from LightStream.
Yes, a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 6.99% APR with autopay and excellent credit.
Just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/OCT.
That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/OCT.
Disclaimer, subject to credit approval, rates range from 6.99% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit.
Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/OCT for more information.
So my daughter came to us in March of 2014. My twins were born January of 2015, right? So when my wife got pregnant with the twins, wow, we weren't expecting to keep our daughter. We thought she was going to go back.
Wait a second now. Also, were the twins with a known donor or with a sperm bank?
They were with a bank.
An open donor at a bank.
Well, we ended up deciding that we were going to go through all of the donors that we liked and narrow it down to our favorite. And if they had donor release, they had donor release. And if they didn't, they didn't.
Okay.
And so we found a donor that was a lot like me in a bunch of ways, maybe didn't so much look like me, but they were very musical. They were athletic. They were like playful. Our voices even sounded similar. Our handwriting looked similar. So it was just kind of like, all right, we're going to go with this one. Mm-hmm. And so we did an IVF cycle where we were able to get 21 eggs. And then we had 17 start to move, and we froze 9 blasts.
Holy shit. Yeah. Good job.
That's
some good numbers.
Yeah. Really good numbers.
And that was your wife's eggs.
Correct.
Ex-wife.
Correct.
Ex-wife. Yes.
Ex-wife.
Partner.
Yeah.
Ex-partner.
So when they were like, how many do you guys want to transfer? We were like, they were like one or two. We looked at each other and we're like, listen, we've been trying for 2.5 years. We don't know what the hell's going on. Just transfer the two. Mm-hmm. And even though like we knew that they were there, we didn't expect or anticipate that they would stick, either of them, honestly. And then when we went back a couple of days later, they were like, oh, well, there's one of your one. And we were like, one of our babies. And then when they showed us the second one, we were like, holy shit, there's two in there. And so we kind of like freaked out at first.
But then we're
really just like,
huge.
Right. Cause craziness. Yeah. And then just in like a lot of joy
at home at this point, like you have.
Right.
Right.
Right. Oh, and at this point, we were fostering another baby.
Oh,
she was eight months old. We had my daughter that we have pictures of our like gender reveal, which I kind of regret now that I understand things a little bit differently. But our gender reveal, we have pictures of like my daughter, our foster baby, and my pregnant ass wife at like 20 weeks pregnant. Yeah. Dang. And she was with us for like a couple of months too, probably about 3 or 4 months. And then she had to go too. So all of this is happening.
How did you get anything done? Holy
shit. All of this is happening like while we're shuttling a kindergartner back and forth to school. I'm also coaching her soccer team, by the way. And then we have another foster baby. We have another foster baby that my wife is shuttling back and forth to work with her, planning parties, cooking, you know, it was nuts.
So wait, so the second baby, foster child,
is with you.
Yeah.
You have the twins.
She just got pregnant with the twins. And foster baby goes home now.
Do you know you're keeping your daughter yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
But it's starting to move in the trajectory of like birth mother has now been disappeared about 4 months. My daughter's birthday is the last day of January. We had planned like a whole birthday party, ice skating stuff, made arrangements with birth mom to like bring a cake, and like she'd never showed up. Yeah. And so that was kind of like up until this point for about 6 or 7 months, we had been working pretty diligently with social services and with birth mother to like figure stuff out. Like, we want to help you get your kid back. She's great. Like, she's great. And she just, birth mom just wasn't doing the right choice. That's what we tell my daughter, you know, age appropriate stuff, right? Like when she was 6 years old, it was like, mommy has a problem. Yeah. Mommy has a problem with her brain that makes her pick drugs over you. She can't help it. She's sick, you know? And then, it turned into like, you know, she doesn't make really good choices because of some of her problems. And all we can do is show up when she wants help. You know? And so we've always been really clear with our kids about where they come from. So yeah, at this point we knew we were probably heading in that direction. So we were freaking out a little bit more because we were like, what the hell are we going to do with three kids? I mean, we went from zero kids to three kids in 6 months. Like, how the hell does that happen?
I know you did.
Oh my God.
We told you it was a journey.
I right now feel like Matthew McConaughey in that movie where he went, and he hits his chest. Do you remember
that?
I have
no idea what you're talking about right now.
Okay, never mind. Anybody who knows about Matthew McConaughey, when he hit his chest in that movie that he won the Oscar for, it was a great moment, and that's why I'm doing the throw callback to it.
Oh, because these episodes made you feel that type of way. I got it. I get you. I feel you. I see you. Okay, so next week, y'all, next week, you're going to hear about Z's pregnancy journey with reciprocal IVF and the spiritual awakening that led Z to become a spiritual healer who talks to dead people. You guys, it's
seriously.
I mean, I just said you guys. Y'all, it is rare that the two of us are silent during these interviews, but we literally just sat there with our mouths open, taking it all in.
Our mouths were agape.
Yeah. They were agape. And Z needs their own TV show, for real. Like, I would tune in. Z's story is everything to me. And at one point, you don't know this. At one point,
shit.
E had to go to the bathroom because we were there long. And then when E was in the bathroom, Z told me that my grandma was in the room waiting to talk to me through Z.
Oh, shit.
And Z was like, you look a lot alike her. And I did. It's my grandma Helen, which is like, I'm like, what the fuck? I know.
Wait, your grandma's name is Helen? And we use Helen. So we're channeling grandma all the time.
Gave me the shivers. Yeah. That gave me the shivers. Okay. That part of the video is available on our Patreon now too. The whole moment where Z is like, oh yeah, your grandma's been trying to talk to you this whole time. And I'm like, what?
Ooh, I got to call Z and see what they're doing.
And just a reminder, the second part of this audio interview is available right now on our Patreon. So just go over there and listen to it if you're subscribed already. Or get your booties in there and subscribe now.
Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day.
Or just wait till next week. The choice is yours.
Or wait till next week. Yes. I'm not going to say too much, but you and I had our minds blown today. And it happened while I was looking at the merch, the new ITOCT merch.
Do you like it?
I like it. And I think everybody needs to head on over to If These Ovaries Could Talk, the Queer Family Podcast, and buy some merch.
You can
go
to our website.
After you sign up for Patreon. Yes, but I learned this while looking at our merch about Like a Prayer, Madonna.
I'm not into this. I'm not into this. It's not true. It can't be true.
It is. If you read the lyrics, it's 100%. I read the lyrics. Like a Prayer is Madonna's. It was talking about a blowjob.
I can't with this. And then I listened to the first couple lines and it does track. It does track. But everything about my childhood has been ruined because the video with the cross and it was such a.
I thought it was about Jesus.
It was the best, but now I don't know. So you all,
it was about
go do some research
and
see if Like a Prayer is about a blowjob. Are you kidding me?
Just Like a Prayer.
Oh God!
You know I'll take you there.
I can't. I'm done with this. All right.
I know it's too much.
Go
get
some merch. Go get some merch.
Go get merch.
You can go to our website www.ovariestalk.com.
And hey, since the holidays are coming up.
Yeah.
Don't forget, you can also buy the book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQIA+ Family. Oh, I just added that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Jay and her former co-host, Robin Hopkins, they wrote it together. And you can get it wherever you buy books or book-like objects. It's chock full of stories, just like the one you heard in today's episode.
Yes.
It's broken up into categories or themes that pop up in our families, like the search for Superman or choosing a donor or being out with your kids, etc. And you can pick the topic you want to go deep into while you're on the can. It's a great bathroom book. Is that all right?
That's
I'm learning
what I
that
say
people read books in the bathroom.
I read books in the bathroom all the time. Also, y'all, join us on social, Ovaries Talk, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And we are If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. So go over there and join us and see all of our crazy shenanigans that we put up. And then on our social, you can see pictures of the guests and some video as well.
Absolutely. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, Thrive Cosmetics and Lightstream. Lightstream is the nation's premier online consumer lender. They offer low interest fixed rate loans from $5,000 to $100,000 for practically any purpose. Oh. And a huge thank you to all of you Patreoners who are helping us make this show. We appreciate you. We thank you. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe a Happy Thanksgiving, because that's coming up closer.
Yes.
That's it. We just want to say this has been fun. Tune in next week for the second part. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
Out. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.